Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment.
Well, the whole team is here. We've got Sam Jackson, she, her, our marketing manager and production coordinator, and our editor, Sarah Brown, she, her, on the show. Fresh off of having all watched the VP debates, we've got your hot takes, hot takeaways, hot side eyes, hot frowny faces towards Mika Penance. Am I saying his name right? I don't know. But wow, was this not the burning trash fire that was the presidential debate, and maybe giving us some much needed hope and enthusiasm that is much needed. Also, we dive into the 355 trailer is here. I have been waiting for this movie for the longest time, and it's starring either Jessica Chastain or January Jones. Do they look alike? We figure it out. Sam walks us through the term BIPOC and the history behind the ever-evolving name change and community classification of black folks. And then with both Sam and Sarah here, I pit the two of them against each other in a head-to-head matchup that neither of them are really keen for in Quizlet Corner. Yes, Quizlet Corner is back, and we talk reparations, which states and cities are moving forward. We talk pop culture. How's Tyra's hosting on Dancing with the Stars? Is there a new black superhero movie in the works at Warner Brothers? Is our bat Meghan Markle about to snatch a new crown? Find out how Sam and Sarah do in Quizlet Corner, and let's see how you do as well. All this and so much more. Get ready to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Let's go. Ooh, we got the team of Minority Corner assemble. Here we are.
Hey.
Good, Sarah and Sam in the house.
We're here.
I had to bring you both in mainly for emotional support because mm-hmm. the last debate was such a hot mess. I wanted to cry in a hole. After in the VP debate just happened, I feel like I just had like really good sex and I need a cigarette.
Ooh, come on.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
We're coming hot and raw out of that VP debate. Is that too much?
Reclaim your time, James. You reclaim your time.
Are you speaking? Because I want to fucking hear it. Yes. The eyes, too. I'm speaking. Stare down.
Okay, let's kick it in. So, Sam, what were some of your hot takes from the debate? What are some of any highlights or hot takes for you?
Hot takes. So the first hot take, because sometimes, like, in my brain, I feel like a hot take is sometimes something bad, mostly something bad.
Oh, okay.
Can we just discuss the fucking fly on Pence's head for a second?
I think that is the main point.
And the fact that, like, very quickly, CNN was like, and the fly. And I'm like, you guys. But also, like, flies love shit. And there was a lot spewing out of his mouth.
Right?
So, you know what, fly, get yours.
Flies,
you know
like, the flies were like literally just like, let me show you in case you were confused. This is shit. Everything coming out of this man's mouth, it's shit. Like, Mother Nature, we're going to get to this in a moment. Mother Nature's been trying to help us out so much. The goddess has been trying to help us out so much. She's like, oh, y'all going to elect Donna? How about a pandemic? Oh, you still going to elect Donna Trump again? She got the Rona. How can I make this any easier for you? Look at this fly. Go get them, flies. They'll listen.
Go get them,
flies. Go, flies, go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. It's too much. And then, like, Kamala's auntie eyes were giving me all the life. Like, and for those of you listening, in case you don't know me, I am an auntie to my core, okay? I bring out, like, Uncle Jethro and James. Like, so auntie to me is the highest praise, okay? I'm not trying to, like, bring her down in any way. The auntie eyes were so strong. I felt like I was finna get a whooping. You know what I mean?
Yes. She gave a look, and I think every black person was just like, oh, we knew what that look meant. You know? Like,
oh, shit. Everybody's like, oh, God.
Oh. And my favorite.
I loved it. I loved it.
Kamala, it was like Mamala came out, Auntala came out in that moment. Like so many times, she saw what happened last time, and she wasn't going to let any of that shenanigans. You're going to try to interrupt me. And you know what she proved was the power in silence, right? Mm. Because she, Makina Pence, I can't pronounce, it's such a hard name. Penance, how do I say vice president?
Yeah, Penance.
That guy, I can't pronounce it. It's too foreign or something. Trying to like interrupt, and she was like, "I'm talking right now," and then just looked at him until he shut the fuck up. From the beginning, because like when they sat down, she gave a quick nod and then immediately went to work. Because what Kamala reminded me of is like that kid who, the A-plus student who did all the homework, everybody's homework, and had the receipts and could even teach the class if she needed to, right? Like when the moderator, Susan, which we'll get to Susan was like, we're going to this question. We're going to like the coronavirus. And she's like, well, I was like, yes, this one. Give it to me. Like she was literally like so ready. And like she's explaining the rules and Kamala immediately just starts like taking notes.
Yes!
And Penon starts like looking over at her, trying to do like a nod. And he's like, you could see he was like, oh, shit. The test has already started.
Oh, we're doing this.
God, I just.
Sarah, how about for you? Oh. What were some highlights, key takeaways?
I would like to apologize on behalf of all white people for sucking at moderating debates.
Susan was a step up from Chris Wallace, though.
She did her best.
A step up, but I'm advocating for only black women should moderate every debate. Yeah. In the history of debates, I think.
And we get paid four times as much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I like that too. So
also, like, Mike Pence never answered the question. No. Like, and Kamala Harris every time would just look over at him and be like, oh, you fuck.
Yes.
Like, I'm about to cut your dick off and beat you. And I'm about to cut your head off and pee on all your shit. Like, you are like, oh, and it made me orgasm. Yes. I was like, this is how, like, but honestly, like, if they were both running for president, like, if that was a presidential debate, I would feel a lot better about, like, the direction of 100. The country. Mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, like, they both are civil. There was a little tiffs here and there, but, like, that is a presidential debate.
Yes.
Like, it was like a
return to civility. I wrote that too. I was taking notes. I was like, as much as I was just like, I mean, you would have thought the Super Bowl was going on in this apartment because I was like,
hooting and hollering.
And then I did have a note. I was like, oh, as much as I am not a fan of Penance, I was like, at least this is a debate. We were at least able to like, even though like I'm not surprised that he wasn't able to, like, answer a single question. He had dumb pivots, too. Like, Kamala Harris' pivots were so, like, juicy. Because she, like, there was one question. It was like, let's talk, do you think that there should be transparency in the medical records of a president? And Kamala Harris was like, yes, absolutely. Joe has been, you know, so transparent about his medical records. We haven't seen anything from Trump. But also transparency on taxes. And so she pivoted to taxes. Mm-hmm. And my favorite line of the night. Like, Kamala Harris was such, like, she was your, like, the auntie of America, essentially. And I don't mean that in, like, an Aunt Jemima way. I mean it in, like, a way of, like, she is, like, the love, right? Because she left no child left behind. Because she would explain something. She didn't want to assume that everybody knew what she was talking about. So she was like, Donald Trump is in debt. And let me break that down for everybody. What that means is he owes somebody money.
Hello.
That's my favorite line of the century.
I'm not over-exaggerating in my impression. I want to say is dead on. That is exactly how she said
he
it.
He owes somebody money.
He owes somebody money.
I can't wait for Maya Rudolph to be
girl. My life.
Oh, God. I mean, like,
died. She's everything.
She, like,
and I think tonight, everyone, I think, I think so many people fell in love. I knew that this is, I always loved Kamala Harris, you know.
Yeah.
And I think people were able to fall in love and feel safe with her, that she was going to defend the country. Not everything she has done or Joe Biden has done is perfect, but understanding, like, I saw that they're here to meet the moment, and why, like, there is no other choice. Like, there just isn't. Like, you know, with Pence was trying to defend a presidency that just really didn't exist, right? He was trying to paint this picture that, like, they have returned them to normalcy. He made some sort of comment about, like, he said that, like, the Joe Biden and Barack Obama had the slowest economic recovery. Bitch, we were in a recession.
Who was we recovering from?
Exactly, we were in a recession. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Remember Bushy Bush war criminal? Bushy?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you not remember who the fuck was in office before that?
There were so many things you tried to bring up, like Soleimani. I'm like, didn't they get Bin Laden? Like, there's just so many different things that, like, what I just love is that Kamala Harris had, like, the points. She started the night off and she said, her first line was, let's talk about facts. And she set the tone, right? She set the tone.
Fucking line.
But she set the tone. She was like, we're talking about facts. And that was her first line out of her mouth. And she was like, we're going to talk about the coronavirus. And, like, here it is. You had Pence, who was the head. He was the czar of the coronavirus task force. And there's the numbers are insane. The president of the United States now has coronavirus. Like, under your, you were supposed to be heading this up. So, like, set the tone. I just, I thought she did a phenomenal job. And also, like, keeping in mind, she was playing a different game. She was playing a different game because the rules were different for her. And I thought she did so excellently. She couldn't, and at the same time was still her own authentic self, but
she was playing chess while he was playing Connect Four. You know
he
what
was
I mean?
Trying to open the box.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah. He couldn't. He was trying to find the box. The only time I did get concerned, and Drumfy Orange did this too, the idea of packing the courts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I wish both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris had definitively said, like, yes or no. Even if it was a yes, because I know that Republicans, that's like their one thing. And I know, and I hated that Mike Pence got that opportunity to look at the camera and say, that's because they are. And I don't know if they are.
They probably are.
But
they should.
I mean, obviously, like, I think they should. Just, because
we don't, want to tell anybody that's what we're going to do, though.
But, like, I think that if they said they were, that would scare a lot of people. And the Republicans would come back and be like, democracy, democracy. Yeah.
I also had to call into question, though, too. I mean, again, in the Constitution, there's nothing about how many justices so that there can be. And I also love, there was something when I love that Kamala was like, let's talk about history. And she brought up the point that
he
Abraham
had the nerve to say, but could you answer my question, sir? I'm gonna need you to shut the fuck up, sir.
Yes, I don't need to. And I love it. She was just so many. She just commanded. And I love it. Like, sometimes you could tell when he was about to get it, because she would just go, and you could just hear her go. And, like, there was one time she mouthed, wow, because the lies were so insane that she just couldn't. It was just, you just had to, wow, this motherfucker.
Why don't they fact check live the debate?
Because I guess the idea is that it's not the moderator's job to be able to do
but
that.
But the moderator can have a friggin' TA, like the fuck? Yeah, like, why isn't there an intern there?
They should
doing
live
it?
Fact check them, because that would.
I do think that Susan, the moderator.
Susie.
Here's what I will say. Susan. I did appreciate her questions. I felt like she was taking, Peanuts and the Donna Trump administration to task, because she was asking them very pointed questions about, like, this is what's going on with coronavirus, or, like, she was just really, like, it wasn't, like, last time with Chris Wallace, there was just too much pandering and sort of, like, you know, where they had the race and violence section, and that is conflating the issues of race and violence. I thought her questions were really good. She would challenge even, you know, Kamala Harris and some of, like, Joe Biden's ideas, and then Kamala Harris would beautifully just, boom, knock it out of the park. And, of course, Peanuts could not answer a single question. And after every question, what a wonderful question, Susan. I'm so glad you asked that question. And now, the American people. I love the American people. It was just like bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Do ya?
I can't.
Do you love the gays? Well, I bet you eat a Chick-fil-A. Bye.
Oh, that is going.
Yep.
Okay, so like, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is super off. This is a little off topic, but also on topic. So be ready with it. Speaking of the gays, can we discuss?
I'm here.
There has been a picture circulating of Ms. Harris, of Senator Harris.
Yeah.
From when she was like in her 20s with her short hair and like her bold lip. And I just want to say out loud for the people, I'm not here to like sexualize anyone or centralize anyone who doesn't want to be centralized. I'm just saying that she is and was fly as hell. Like,
she was so hot.
You guys, I saw that picture and I was like, oh my, I'm sorry. What did. Who senator? Okay, hold on.
Wait, that's our senator over here. Oh my God.
Our senator.
Yo, she's mine.
My senator is not.
I'm sorry. She's mine. Hi.
Chuck Schumer's ugly. Wow. I mean love
but
you,
we
but
don't
not really.
We're not voting for him for his looks. We're just voting for him because he's still 100%. There.
Right.
I do appreciate the questions for science. You know, every time she was like, Vice President, do you believe in science? And everyone was like, looking, answer the question. What do you think? And he would just tap dance. He was just, you know, shuffling along. Okay. I thought Kamala Harris said really well. The vice president debate, they're supposed to be sort of the attack dog, and they always bring it back to the president. And I thought she did a great job of almost of end of everything. Mm-hmm. She never made it about her, but she was always able to make a point and then bring it back to like, and that's what Joe is going to do. And she had that familial sort of like language. You never heard Pence like use Donna's first name. It's like he had Pence? Such a Denence. He has such a Denence now. Denence. Mm-hmm.
Denence for the Pennants.
But he has such like, you would think after 4 years, like they'd be on like a first name basis, but it's like he doesn't even know the guy. And you really could tell he's just trying to line himself up for when Donna Trump's administration goes down. I just really love calling her that. When Donna goes down. I've seen that movie. When Donna Goes Down. Oh, man. I was back in my experimental days.
I've been in that movie.
Yeah, you've seen that one.
I've seen it.
It was a
Donna
good
Goes
flick.
Down.
I'm just saying.
It was great.
It was nasty.
I had a good time watching it.
It was nasty, but I was in a nasty mood. But he's just trying to set up his future, and there is none. He's got I think the only future he has with the anti-choice pro, you have to have the baby, but I don't give a fuck about it once it's here. Nonprofits. That's where his future lies.
But if Orange Face hasn't gone down by now, like. I think the only way he'll go down is if he loses the election. Like, that's the only way to get him out of office. Because, like, if even Bush or any president in the past had done, like, a third of the things that Trump has said or done, they would have been impeached.
He was impeached. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, but, like, kicked out of office or, like, whatever, like... There would have been so much more uproar from both sides of the aisle, and that we're just only seeing that from one side. And like any Republican, like Mitt Romney, who like, I don't know, I don't care about him. But like, even when he says like little things or whatever, I'm like, that's a tweet. Mm. That is a tweet that you are putting on social media. If you really don't like him and you want to go up against him, you have a press conference. Mm-hmm. You get your ass on CNN and you say what is on your mind. Because if you really like want to go back to like I am not a Republican. I will never be a Republican. I am an anarchist at this point, a progressive.
All right, burn it down.
I am in the party of Kamala Harris and AOC and all that. I love them. But like, if he really wants to, like, if Republicans want to, like, revive themselves at all, which I hope never happens because they suck, like, do something.
Yeah.
Say something, not just on social media, because you know, like, we can disagree on if a streetlight should be paid for by tax dollars or if the roads aren't paved. But we cannot disagree on whether people have the right to get married or where women have the right to choose. And like, that is fundamental things. And like, yeah, sorry, that's my speech. I'm not running.
I was
going
to say, all right, don't forget to vote. You can vote for move over, Chuck Schumer. She's coming for your spot. Right in there, bro.
Coming for you,
AOC is coming for his spot.
Hello.
I hope.
Maybe Mike Pence has never let a woman finish, and that's why he has such a difficult job. Like, he couldn't let any of the women finish.
Can we actually just backtrack because of that line to Trump being like, you'd be surprised.
Yes.
On Biden being like, can you let him finish? He doesn't know how to. You'd be surprised, sir. So what are we actually talking about? Can we,
My God. But Susan, she so far is winning in the debate moderation. I also don't think we need to have any more debates. I feel like this was enough for me. I feel like I'm not going to get anything. I think the next one is a Zoom. I don't think Pence needs to be in any space near Donna Rona.
Anyone?
yeah.
Donna Rona.
Donna Rona. That's too fun of a song for her. Be like, Donna Rona, she's gonna get you disease. Donna Rona, like, she smashed a democracy. Donna Rona, lies from sea
looks
to
like
sea.
Cheese.
I want to speak. We've been talking, you're badass women. We watched a badass woman eviscerate a demon troll this evening.
Ooh, just demon troll. Da-da-da. Love that.
Was working an American exorcism from this demon that has been possessing our country. She was working out. A gift was given to us today. I made you both watch this trailer because, or encouraged you to.
A gift was given. I made you.
I made you do this thing.
Because a little backstory. There's this movie called 355. I have been so hyped for it for the longest time because it's got, what's her name? I was about to be like, my girl, and I can't remember her name. What's her?
Lupita?
What? No, the lead. Yeah, Lupita, but also, who's the lead in it? Okay, hold on. It's not that I'm just like, oh, yeah, Lupita.
God,
but what
I
about
love
the other
Lupita.
Girl?
Oh,
no,
yeah, right.
What's her name? Oh, Jessica Chastain. Okay, now I feel like, stop it. Because now it sounds like I just shooed Lupita away to make room for little Jessica Chastain, and now I look like a fool.
Okay, Uncle Curtis, calm down.
Can we as a group agree that Jessica Chastain and January Jones look exactly
what?
The same? Am I the only one?
Yes,
to think
I
you
love
are.
That you're just saying
yes,
like words. I have
are.
No idea who these people are. Wait, no, wait.
Seems
now I have to
like,
look.
Who
wait,
are
what's
these
who?
White women? You're
okay,
talking
Jessica.
About.
Who? Wait, no.
First of all,
they look
that,
the same.
Wait, okay.
A lot of white
wait. Jessica who?
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain.
I think
yes.
And the woman from.
You can't act her way out.
Okay, got her. And who's the other one?
Act her way out of her.
The other redhead white.
What's her name?
The other person.
Oh.
January
Jones is blonde.
but
no, the one from Mad.
Oh, then that's January Jones, and she sucks. But I don't know. If she sucks.
Oh yeah. No, you're not. She's not lying. They do look alike.
Oh my God! I think why I'm so offended. Here's why I'm offended. Because Jessica. Okay, I know what they look like. Sam with the receipts.
I don't think you do.
Okay, Kamala, are you just gonna? You've been so inspired
Hello.
By Kamala.
Oh, I'm out here.
At every moment, you're like, let me get the receipts. Like Sam's like, let's talk about facts. They do look alike.
Let's talk about facts. They do. You can't tell me those two. Listen.
They don't. They're
they
both
look alike.
White. Here's why I'm offended.
You guys, I'm going to post it as your social media manager. I'm going to post it on Twitter at some point and ask a poll.
Here's why I'm offended is because Jessica Chastain is an amazing actress and January Jones exists. Like that's
those things have nothing to do with how they look. Okay. I'm going to remind you of that real
like,
quick.
I just.
January Jones exists. As
she's here. She's here.
How dare she?
Meanwhile, Jessica Chastain is like, I'm taking notes. And here's what the thing about Jessica Chastain is: she is a white woman with power that is trying to do good shit with it. So going back to 355 trailer, she made it a point. Well, she was working on it with Simon Kinberg, who she was doing Dark Phoenix. Let's get nerdy for a second. She was doing Dark Phoenix, was a X-Men, the last X-Men movie, because it was just so shitty. They were like, we can never do these again. And she was not hooking up with him, but they were, ooh, that's how rumors get started. They were working on this idea.
Yes, I'm keeping
They were working on this idea for female, like doing a female spies movie based on this true story of like, female like CIA agents, and but they'd be worldwide. So she wanted to have like a diverse group of like women, and so she it's got Penelope Cruz, Lupita Nyong'o, what's is it? Is it Bing Bong? Bing Bong?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Bing Bong.
Okay. Good.
That's
I'm just
name.
Making yep. sure I'm not
your
just.
Face.
I feel like that's something I shouldn't say because I'm white, like, but yeah. we're just gonna.
And
like,
then
sure.
some, oh my god, no, it's Fan Bing Bing. Oh my god, everyone's gonna be so
first
mad at me.
Lupita,
I fucked it up.
Now you're, you know what?
Anyways, oh god, can we talk about the trailer?
Everybody.
No, the trailer
is my future wife. Okay. So, like,
that's 100%. The trailer is incredible. Yes. I think, like,
yeah.
watching it, I was so stoked about this, like, all woman, yes. badass, like, spy. Jam. I was also stoked about all the different cultures that are represented.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say, and I know this is like, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, right? But I have to say, one, stoked that it's Lupita because like, come on, dark skin, beautiful woman yes. who's like front and center and yeah. being sexy and all of the things, you know, like I'm so here for that. I also noticed that the lighting happened to make all of the other women of color look very fair.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it was the lighting
oh.
or if it was just the facts.
We'll have to take a
but
look.
But it's an interesting thing to me to continue to see. I'm just like, oh, I can only tell because of your features that you right. are not Caucasian, not because of your skin tone.
And
it
could be,
you know,
I think, because one of the only red flags that I'm having about this movie so far is that it might have been directed by Simon Kinberg. But it was directed by a dude. And what I would have loved is, like, I think that Jessica Chastain is trying to do this, like, she's very, like, women-centric. Like, if you have a Sunday and you're like, what movie stars do I want to watch for the day? Like, you know, sometimes you're just like, I'm going to watch, like, Denzel Washington movies today. Or do you ever do that where you're just like, pick an artist, let's go? Jessica Chastain has some amazing movies. Molly's Game. Ah, and there's another one that I'm totally blanking on that's going to... something.
Zero
no,
Dark Thirty.
But, oh, that one oh. is great. I heard.
Is
she
in
is.
That?
That's where she,
guess.
Like... It, oh, she, like, crushed
let's
it.
Let's go, Sarah. Come on, girl.
There's another one. They're two, and they're both, things. Like, like, there's another one that's, like, a political thriller or something. Not a political thriller. It's, like, based on a true story. Anyways, it's really fucking amazing. She's really great. I don't know why I'm going. I'm like really
I love it.
Standing
Let's
for Jessica
I mean,
Chastain.
You should be her agent.
I just want to be her co-star.
Is that what that
I
is?
Mean.
Miss Sloan, that's the other Jessica Chastain movie you should check out. But anyways, Kamala, you won the nights. Thank you for lifting our spirits up. And we're going to get into some juicy corners.
Macho man to the top rope. The flying elbow, the cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Saturdays on Maximum Fun. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Sam's Corner.
Sam's Corner.
It's time for Sam's Corner.
Okay.
I love the duet song. I'm very into it.
Our single drops tomorrow.
Actually, we decided we're going to keep working on it.
Oh, what?
We just decided that we're going to release it spring of 2023. We want to get it right for the fans.
Cool. Oh. A little backpedal on that live. Cool. Live.
We're live. All right. What you got for us, Sam?
Fantastic. So my corner, I want to just kind of rope this bad boy in to the VP debate. So there's a moment in which Kamala mentioned, which is this fact real quick, that was a fact and not her opinion. Let's remind everyone of that. That she was the first senator who was a woman of color and a black woman. So let's I want to like track the fact that she had to say both things. She said a woman of color and black, right? It's not one inclusive thing. So lead up transition. So this corner is about this that seems new, that has actually been happening for quite a while, is the BIPOC. So I feel like everyone's been talking about it recently, and I've had so many conversations with people being like, what is this thing? Is it BIPOC? Is it bisexual people of color? Like, what is this thing? For y'all who don't know, we're going to get into it. So we're going to talk about what it means, how we say it, when it came about, and what are our thoughts about it? And also, like, what was the lead up to coming to this many lettered variation of how to speak about people who are not white? So for those of you who do not know, listeners, Franz, it is black, indigenous, and people of color. It's not bisexual POC. It's not black, indigenous, people of color. It's not a biopic, right?
I'm so glad you're having these conversations, and I laugh and I giggle because I did have some questions when it switched. Sometimes, And sometimes the term...
It's not BIPOC.
BIPOC, HEBAG.
No.
Sometimes like the terms change, and this is the first time it's changed a few times in my lifetime. Oh, you're gonna go into this. I'm not gonna jump into.
I am. You can foreshadow this.
No, I'm not gonna jump in. Go ahead. But like it changes sometimes, and then you don't know that it changed,
yes.
And then you got to keep up with it. And so
exactly,
I know it gets really hard for especially like out of touch white folks. Like, oh. I don't want to keep talking about penance. This is the most time that we've talked. This is my penance for bringing up penance so much. I was yelling at the screen today when Mika Penance several times.
Mika Penanis.
I'm saying some things here.
Yes.
I don't like them, so I'm not going to pronounce that person's name correctly because I can't stand.
It's like teriyaki lamb chop. I don't talk to her.
Nope. Not
say her name.
Oh, teriyaki Nazi Barbie Lamadini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, so go ahead.
He said, and like Donna did this last week too, so I'm like, why am I surprised? But like he tries to put on this veneer of like, ooh, I am a respectable Republican president person. And he said blacks. Like he's like he said, well, blacks don't like what you did this to the blacks. He's trying to like read her for her record, and it's like someone's record as we talked about this in the show before, someone's record as a prosecutor is going to be different than their work as a senator. The job is just different. And she has done reforms working from within the system. And her job as a senator has been vastly different. And are her and Joe Biden part of the establishment or the radical left? You can't be both. Like, what is it? What is, you know? Anyways, Penance said blacks, like he was saying, like the blacks. He said it several times in one breath. Keep our name out of your damn mouth. You're so out of touch. You don't know us. You can't keep up with what to call us. Keep our name out of your damn mouth. It was so offensive to not be able to understand how a community of that is 13% of the population, and in the middle of all this civil unrest, you can't get your shit together to understand how we're identifying, and you call us the blacks, or blacks don't like what you're doing. I threw up in my mouth. Fuck you.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah. I feel like BIPOC is gross. I'm very not into it. BIPOC does make it sound like you're bisexual.
Like all the POCs are bisexual, and let's face it, we really all are.
So I would like us to go ahead and take the time to say all of the letters. BIPOC.
BIPOC. BIPOC.
So, yeah, so that's part of the talk, right? Like, it's.
No.
So, to backtrack, so this term started out technically in 2013 in a tweet by @GrindToronto, according to Sandra Egressi in the New York Times. And she is a sex worker in Toronto. And like this beautiful black woman who's like, you know what? I'm here for the people. So 2013, I just started hearing it a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know about anyone else, same. But it is quite.
And then I had to pretend like I always been saying this and knew what it was.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is such a trip. So then like in May 2020, I wonder why it starts sparking up. And now that we know what it is, it's like, so how do we feel about it? Like you said, we're going to have all of these letters and it's going to take all of this time. And there are a lot of people who are saying...
It's too many letters?
Well, there are a lot of people saying that it's not enough.
Oh.
That like, okay, we're saying B-I-P-O-C-Q, but why not take the time to say Black and Indigenous and Latinx and, you know, Asian and Pacific Islander? And like, why aren't you saying all of our names?
Because I have to
why
go
are we being lumped
catch
together?
A bus.
Sandra E. Garcia, again, who is from the New York Times, Black woman. This is a quote from an article. She says, in a moment when Black Americans are asking that the names of those killed at the hands of the police be said out loud, and when Black people are asking for equal treatment on a global scale, trying to fit all people of color and Native Americans in one term can seem tone deaf. So even when it's talking about the Black experience, are we just trying to lump it all in into like all of you people who aren't white? And
well, that's why,
is that what we want?
But that's what I guess for myself, like I like oftentimes what I have heard when people are, I've used it, like I talk about Black folks and POC folks, like I've pretty much for the most part, unless I'm really in a rush, have like kept Black people and POCs. It depends what the moment is. Sometimes I'm trying to like, it depends because every conversation is different. There are some moments when you're like, oh, this is affecting everybody who's not white. So you just say POC. And then sometimes they're talking about like the, I see the difference between like needing to lump like, or to separate putting Black people and then POC. And I guess I just don't like, so wait, are we saying we're going to eradicate? Because if we start doing like B-I-L-A... A-P, S-O-A, and then,
no,
like,
well,
wait,
see,
do we get
that.
Rid of POC in general? Because then no one's left over to be a POC.
I think it's less of we're adding all of these letters and more of the Black experience is a very different experience. Oh. The Indigenous experience is a very different 100%. Experience. Why are we lumping it all together in one acronym and then white people still get white? You know what I mean? Like, so we're all of the non things, right? So I think that people are having some issues with that. However, there are some people who are kind of similar to where you are at, and they're like, this is great. Like it is putting us in a relationship of what white people have done to us. For example, the founders of the BIPOC project use the term to, quote, highlight the unique relationship to whiteness that Indigenous and Black African Americans people have, which shapes the experiences of and relationships to white supremacy for all people of color within the U.S. context, which I think is really beautiful as well.
I love the term B. I hope it is, let the record state. Can we, Susan? Is Susan listening?
Susan, are you here?
Susan, can you let the record show that I am in full favor of BIPOC? I think it's beautiful. I love it. It makes sense. Because it does it, like, it highlights it, because it is, it really is. And that's why, like, Dolores Huerta has given us the phrase, like, together we're the majority. White people only make up 25% of the world's population, but yet they hold up all this power, right? And so it is, like, and I think it does, like, highlight, like, they're not just a W. They're a full-on fucking word, because they have all this fucking power, and they've done all this shit to all the rest of us. And so we can lump together in our own coalition of letters and unification. And that's why I'm voting for Joe Biden.
I can't stand you.
I'm just practicing my Kamala Harris.
You're right, though. Like, white people, like, we have white, and people will always say, like, oh, you're white. But, like, when you're referring to someone who might be Chinese or Japanese or Indian, people will most likely just say POC. Instead of specifically saying that they're Japanese or Chinese or like something like that. And I think that's like what people might be like advocating for is like, why can't white people just instead of it? Because sometimes it might come off as like white making that term for like white comfort. Maybe. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. I think that's the issue. I think that for those of us who are about the movement and all of it, we're like, yes, let's unify. But in a way, POC kind of came about, and I will, if I have time, get into like some terminology for specifically Black people and where we've come from in that. But I think that white people and like PR teams We're like, ooh, POC. Yeah. That makes everyone comfortable. We don't have to talk about Black issues or Mexican issues or Latinx issues or Asian issues. We're just speaking about the whole swath of people of color.
So, I guess I've never thought that white people had anything to do with the term POC, and I don't think that they did. I don't think that they could have came up with
smart.
It. People of color, I felt like it was a way for me. What I've always found comfort and solace in it was a unification of like, we need to come together against all these, you know, white people. And two, letting Asian American folks know or Asian people know, this includes you. Y'all not white. Like, y'all are being discriminated against. You have been historically. And I think for my friends who are Asian American have felt like they had a seat at the table of non-whiteness, or have been felt pushed or activated. Because when we say POC, mm-hmm. we're talking about you too, because we really do have to sort of, you know, rally together. So I guess like for me, it's always felt like an empowering term, not something that was handed down to me from Massa, because fuck him. That's how we coming together against
yeah,
you,
Mika
trick
penis.
Ass motherfucker. Yes. Yeah.
Mika penis.
But this is at least the third time that like the term has changed. Because when I was a kid,
yes,
I didn't go to the history of this, but when I was a kid, I think I was born. What was I? I think I was almost in some of my history books. I was an Afro-American. Like that was still mm-hmm. a thing. Like I'm of age where like there were some history books that said that I was an Afro-American, and then I was an African-American. And then I was Black, and that was my favorite mm-hmm. one. And then I was a POC, and then I was also Black and a POC. And that's kind of where I am now. But it is always an ever, and I am Black, but and I'm part of the Black community, but we're not Blacks.
Is African American right. politically correct? So because like not all Black people like came over from Africa. You
from
know what
Africa,
I mean? Not all
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm intruding.
Yeah,
I'm intruding.
Agreed.
I'm gentrifying
no,
the corner.
You're so
and
right.
I don't
and
mean
that's
to.
And that and that's why I love the term Black, because I think it also calls attention to the bullshit that is, you know, racism, right? And race in general, that really it's a made up thing. But we're kind of like saying like, okay, you've created this caste system, you've created this system that is based on essentially the color of someone's skin, and let's name it and say what it is. And because not everybody comes from Africa who is of darker skin, there are some people who are necessarily like who might be of darker skin and from South America, right? Afro-Latina folks as well. Like, and I feel like it's been like this rallying term, Black, and there's power in it.
So in all of this way, like we have all of these different names, we've had all of these different names, and are we ever going to settle something? And how many times have we gone back and forth on things? And it's not saying that we're wishy-washy. It's just saying that we continue to have new relationships with our ethnicity and with race. Mm-hmm. And also, like, is racial identity as fluid as our gender identity? And realistically, both are made up constructs. So race is not a real thing. My ethnicity is a real thing.
Are you talking about Rachel Dolezal?
My race is not a real thing. You know what I mean? My sex at birth is a real thing, but my gender identity is something that is a construct, right? So are we continually figuring out what we are or how we stand? Very interesting things. So, and I think that's so real. Like, again, race is one thing and ethnicity is a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a...
Because there's like where you were born from and this is that country is the ethnicity yes. of it. Like, okay... Born in Nigeria, I am of Nigerian descent. There's my ethnicity, but the race is made up. Like we have
Black is made
it's
up.
It's a made up
right.
thing, yes. And that's again, mm-hmm. but we've
White
created
is made up.
Our caste system. And I think that's for me, it's like by acknowledging the colors of it is acknowledging the bullshitness of the caste system that has been created of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. But like I don't say like to people, oh, I'm of Austrian descent.
You should.
Or like Russian
I
descent.
I think you should.
I mean even, we'll yeah. see.
I agree with that. You should because you've I mean
I white just tell people,
people
I'm a
as
Jew.
A whole, I mean they're okay, there you go. That's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. But like as a whole, it's just like this comfort of being white in America specifically and what the power that holds, you know?
Yeah.
America in history. Yeah. Here we go. So let's backtrack and see how far we've come since our kidnapping. all those years ago. So I have a list of 7 different changes. I'm trying to get, and I'll get through them as quickly as I can. But so backtracking to the beginning of our imprisonment here.
Speak it.
Is Latin derived Niger. So, which according to a Washington Post article by Randall Kennedy, who was a black attorney, says when John Rolfe recorded in his journal the first shipment of Africans to Virginia in 1619, he listed them as Negars, which is N-E-G-A-R-S. And a 1689 inventory of an estate in Brooklyn, New York, made mention of enslaved Nigger boy, N-I-G-G-O-R. So it's clear that at first, this came from like Latin-derived words that meant black. They have black skin, and that's what they're calling them, and that's just what it is.
Very creative.
Very creative, right? This is what we're here for. We live for it. Clearly, because of this origin, it was pretty synonymous with Negro, which is from the Portuguese, which, like, I'm so conflicted in my personal body, as you are, James.
I have that same 25% confliction that you are feeling.
It is our people, tragic.
25% of us did some shit.
Did some
and
shit.
And I can't even
to
say,
the,
like, I yeah. mean, it was legit, like, well, anyways, we're gonna go to the history.
Wait, it's what? Like, what did 25%
of? Oh, both Sam and I.
So the Portuguese. Are a yeah, so we're Portuguese.
Ooh, and Portugal's nice.
In around, except in around 1442.
Yeah.
The Portuguese went to South Africa and stole some folks. Yes. So it was pretty synonymous with Negro and, let's just say it, nigger.
Okay. Yep.
Right. We're back and forth and back and forth. Until nigger actually started becoming an insult in the last third of the 19th century, which just seems to line up with abolishing slavery.
Oh,
funny that.
Yeah.
So people were like, you're not going to call me nobody's nigger. Mm-hmm. Like, not today. Mm-hmm. But then I think even to, it was interchangeable in the U.S. with nigger until nigger became an insult in the last third, the last third of the 19th century, which, again, lines up with abolishing slavery, and then Negro became more acceptable. And in 1848, John Belton O'Neill's The Negro Law of the South of South Carolina says that the term Negro is confined to slave Americans, the ancient Berbers, and the descendants. It does not embrace the free inhabitants of Africa, such as Egyptians, Moors, or the Negro Asiacs, such as Lascars. So he was like, it's only for y'all here in America that belong to us.
Okay.
And I think people were like, you know what? We're going to go with colored. We're gonna go with colored.
I remember that one. That's a classic.
It's a classic. And I think there is some overlap with people who aren't super into POC. Because it feels like an assimilation of sorts in the same way that colored did.
Yeah.
And as you know, as Freedom said, and there was a pull to get away from anything that sounded like nigger or that put black folk in a box that was specifically for them. So there, colored was an all encompassing right. bit of assimilation in a way that didn't put Negroes
right.
in a category all their own.
It was like, okay, fine, we got some melanin, we'll call it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess
exactly.
I think what you're saying too is that that's why there are some people who, and I think it's a generational thing, and I think that's the thing is that like words are ever evolving, right? There was a time when like you did not identify as queer. I know that there are gay men who will not identify as queer because it was so painful and so hurtful. But now it's sort of like, no, we're reclaiming it and we're owning it. And it's this umbrella term. And I love identifying as a queer individual. But I know some people who won't own. And the same way, I think there's some people who will not identify as like a person of color because it touches too close to, you know, the no coloreds.
To colored, exactly.
Yeah, so I can totally understand of why, like, it's an ever-evolving, changing thing.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And then, of course, NAACP founded in 1909, so, like, colored was still, like, kicking and growing through Jim Crow era, like you said, no colored
National
allowed,
advancement
blah, blah, blah,
for
blah, blah.
Colored people.
For colored people, we still around.
NAACP, they were like, we're not changing.
Exactly.
You already got the
but
website.
Then, okay, so we're at number 4, right? So first was Niger, okay. Nigger, mm-hmm. then Negro, mm-hmm. and colored. Mm-hmm. And now we're at Negro. Oof, we're back to Negro.
Okay.
Because W.E. Du Bois, mm-hmm. following Booker T. Washington's lead, fought for Negro as it was more etymology. I can't even say this word.
Etymology?
Yes. Etymologically? Mm. Is that how you say it? I'm dyslexic. Don't. Sure. It's a tricky word.
We're rooting for you.
Okay, etymology. Tyra. It was, you know, more linguistically based.
There we go. Spell it out. He owes somebody money.
Yeah. Kamala.
He
quick.
Owes somebody money.
and also, he just liked the sound of it better. So he rooted for this, and then Negro became, I mean, not just because of that, but, you know, forward thinkers and blah, blah, blah. And we start to say, you know what? I'm going to go back to Negro. Let me reclaim Negro.
See, there's a cycle what I'm seeing of like a cycle of like, because mm-hmm. you get away from the pain of it enough. And then you're like, I'm going to own this because it's far enough. And there is something too, like, I use Negro for like when I see a very smart black person. I'm like, okay, Negro. Okay, you better read that book, Negro. Right. That's for your smart black friends.
Right. And I can't. I'm so mad because it's so true. This Negro right here. Okay, I see you. Yeah, it's a very
Sarah's learning so much today.
So number five, around the 50s and 60s, Malcolm X started using black instead of Negro because he wanted to let go of the ties that Negro had to slavery and segregation and inferiority.
And this is the first time we're hearing just straight up, let's call it what it is, we black.
Yeah,
of course,
exactly.
Malcolm X would be so the one to bring that to the table.
Right. So and it was definitely like up until then, it was a mix of Negro and colored. And people were like, you know, in the same way that we're talking about POC or black or BIPOC, we're like, well, no, this is what I like or this is what so-and-so likes or this is what, you know, everybody is figuring out what they want to be called for themselves.
I just had an aha moment. I think I understand why every generation changes the name, because they look back and they see how that group was treated by white people who use that name, and they see the pain and the oppression. Like, I cringe when I watch old-timey videos and it's like, you know, some senator talking about the Negroes, right? But that was what they were called back then. But it's cringy. So I wouldn't want to use that in the same way. Like, even now, it's like African-American seems so dated because it just seems so like, okay, that's what they were using back in like the 80s and 90s. You know, like, I feel like that's like why every generation changes it, because they look and they're like, but y'all were getting treated badly when they were calling you that. We need a new name.
And I need to speak to this specifically, because in this article from Ferris State University, there's a quote from Senator Harry Reid, not a quote, but so Senator Harry Reid got in trouble for referring to President Obama in 2008 as a, quote, light skinned African-American with, quote, no Negro dialect.
You don't get to say any of those words that just came out of your mouth, Harry Reid.
I'm sorry. So apparently he apologized for his comment and blah, 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 But it was I'm sorry. What the fuck did you just say?
Isn't that
in 2008?
Also weird to like remember a senator would apologize for something. That's so.
Remember when that was?
Isn't that like it's a shame that we have to like miss those days, because that's just basic human decency and basic leadership. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be moral leaders. So, but yeah, fuck you, Harry Reid.
Which is why I love our student question at the very end of the debate. I was like, go ahead, little friend.
Yes. Why? That student question, Becklin?
Was it Jenny? Jessica?
No, Jessica Chastain. It was Jessica.
No.
I love, though, we are just, this debate keeps coming up more than I had ever intended it for. But I like that Micah Penis misunderstood the assignment, because he just gave such a bullshitty sort of answer. And then Mama LeBrat at home, she was like, and here is the actual homework assignment that we're supposed to do, which was like, using this question, but also using it of like why they should be voting for our candidate. And he just was like, I hope America comes together at some point, but not like how you were going to lead that to happen. Anyways, What are we now?
Okay, so we are black. We're black.
Yes. Thank you, Malcolm X.
Yes. And that same article that I stated, the Ferris State University article, that's an article from the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. Mm-hmm. Hello. Says that Negro really started its decline in 1966, and it was totally uncouth by the mid-80s, even though Malcolm X started it in like the 50s, 60s. So who knows what that really is. But they state that the turning point came when Stokely Carmichael coined the phrase Black Power at a 1966 rally in Mississippi. And then, of course, Fizz, Afro, all the things. So there was some blackness going on in the 60s and the 80s. Mm. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, African-American. I'm not black.
Oh,
I'm
African-American. And that was in the 80s, right? Who was
in the
80s?
And it were Afro-American.
Ronald Reagan. Because you had this idea of, you know, conservatism. Like, whoever is at the top does have an effect on what happens on the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. Like, underneath the Bush administration, movies got very conservative. During the 90s, sex everywhere, MTV sex, teen movies sex, and then it got...
It's all like Back to the Motherland, all the dashikis, the beads in
all
the
that.
Hair,
yes, let's
box
go.
Braids.
I'm not surprised
mean?
That it went to African American because you had a bunch of stuffy old white people, conservative white ass people who love Wall Street, running the show. And so they needed a word to call us, and they didn't feel comfortable saying black. Because what black meant to us was power, right? And it was connected to the Black Panther Party and that movement. And also, so many of our black leaders had been murdered and destroyed, and they gave us affirmative action. They're like, can y'all calm down now? And we were like, fine, I'm going to go do my job. Call me African-American. Stop murdering my people.
Mm. And in all of these things and all that you're saying, now we have POC and we fight for it in a certain way, and even BIPOC, and we're excited about it in certain ways. But in 5 years, in 10 years, what are our, you know, are now like going out?
Oh, I know
what
we're
going to
be called.
The system. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, where are we going to be?
We'll be called Wakandas. We'll be called Wakandians. What are you, a Wakandian?
A Wakandian.
It's coming.
Oh, are you a colonizer? Goodbye.
Yeah, it is coming. We will call ourselves Wakandians because it is.
For those of you viewing, Sarah's
you're
going
to listen to this podcast 5 years from now and be like, oh my God, James spoke into existence. We are Wakandians.
Anyway, so that is my corner.
Oh.
And the question goes out to the team, to the corner kids. Like, what do you think about BIPOC? What term feeds your life? What do you call yourself? I'm very interested to hear from you guys where you stand on all this stuff, because it's a journey, and it feels relatively fluid if you were going back to the beginning of our hostage state here in the U.S.
Speak the truth of Jesus. To the social media channels for all you quarter kids, and let us know what you think.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Or the time we finally cracked the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
Quizlet Corner. It's back. This is the first time we used to do Quizlet with a Neke all the time. And now that we've got, this is your indoctrination. That sounds, I've watched too many cult TV shows to use the word indoctrination. This is your induction. Is that a safe word?
Hey,
okay,
right.
You guys perked up.
Is that a safe word?
This is your
I love
is it someone's safe word?
This is your coronation. There we go. How about that? We like that. This is your coordination. It's Minority Corner. All right. This is Quizit Corner. There are two rounds. And the way this is going to work, I'm going to read some hot topics or headlines. And one of them is not true. And you have to guess which one is not true. Okay.
I'm
going
to be bad at this.
You're going head to head.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be bad too. Don't worry.
There's only two rounds. This first round is worth 10 points if you get it right.
Wait, it's a competition?
I mean, you're competing for, like, everyone will win, but you are. Oh, you both are individual teams. But in the end, Minority Corner wins because you're both part of Minority Corners. So there we go. All right. When it comes to reparations and making amends, which one of these events is not true, a.k.a. did not happen recently? Number one, Hottie McHotterson, California Governor Gavin Newsom, signed a bill establishing a task force to study and make recommendations on reparations for slavery. Could be true, could not be true. Second one, Asheville, North Carolina city approves reparations for black residents. Could be true, could not be true.
That doesn't sound like North Carolina.
Let's see. Okay, survivors and descendants of the Tulsa massacre has filed a lawsuit against the city for its role in the riot. And the fourth one could be true, could not be true. Okay. And the Senate has finally approved a task force to look into reparations.
LOL.
One of them is not true.
One of those is not true.
Wait,
the Senate didn't do it.
Yeah, the Senate.
The Senate's a lie.
The Senate don't care.
Because it's led by Mitch McConnell. Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So there's other ones that are true. Yes, Hottie McHotterson, Gavin Newsom did sign a bill establishing a task force. This is why we love him. Gavin Newsom just crushing it. He signed Bill AB 3121. It's the first of its kind in any state. It was signed recently. It creates a 9-member task force that's going to inform Californians about slavery, and it's going to explore ways that the state might provide reparations. And so this is really exciting. And people are like, oh, reparations, da, da, da. Like, we've had reparations that have happened in this country before. It happened to Japanese Americans before. In Germany, they did it for Jewish folks. Oh, Sarah's pointing. She know about reparations. She can tell you all about reparations, okay?
She knows.
Oh, right?
Know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And until you make amends for the sins of the past, you cannot completely heal at all. Also in February, go off Gavin Newsom in California. He made a formal apology for the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. So where 100,000 Japanese Americans were incarcerated in the country. And then the other point I had read was about Asheville, North Carolina. They approved reparations for black residents, but the measure stopped short of stipulating for direct payment. So essentially what it is, it's providing and promoting home ownership and business opportunities, but they're not necessarily direct cash payments. Some people have been like, this is just kind of just scratching at the surface of the larger sort of issue. They make up 12% of the city's population. They apologize for their participation in slavery, whereas like it's one of the oldest, like, you know, slave places. So, step in the right direction.
Slave place.
Slave place.
Slave.
One of the oldest slave places. Oh,
you know, slave one of those place. Slave places.
I just spit in my mouth. Oh, I'm
as you,
so glad
you have to when you say slave places. We're not one of those slave places.
I'm sure Connecticut's done some racist shit.
Oh, I'm sure Connecticut's had an experience of being one of those slave places before.
I really need you guys to see James's face right now. We might need to do a clip of him saying slave places.
Slave places.
I hate it.
Okay. All right. Then I want to talk about Tulsa. Tulsa, you know, go off. There are the leading plaintiffs. So Tulsa is suing the city. The survivors of the descendants of the 1921 Tulsa massacre are suing. They're suing the city. So the plaintiff is 105-year-old Leslie Benningfield, Mother Randall. I guess Mother is like her nickname.
Mother Randall.
That's what she be. Mother Randall. God.
Dude, that actually reminds me of our dear friend Ben Randall. So, hi, friend.
Friend of the pod. Hey, Ben. Ben's been on the show before. Hey. Mother Randall. I would call him that from now on.
Mother Randall is one of
we'll take it serious for a moment. Mother Randall is one of two known massacre survivors who are still living. 105. Can you imagine? Also included among the list of plaintiffs are descendants of the massacre survivors and victims. There's some other people. And essentially, they're using that the city has like a nuisance law and they're using that against it. And so like they're saying that the city essentially was acting as a nuisance against the residents. And they're using that their own nuisance law against them. And they never rebuilt it. They just allowed all of this, you know, death and destruction to happen. So.
Wow.
They're suing, and that's gonna definitely should end up into some cash payments. And also too, when you talk about reparations, like the reason why when the Asheville, North Carolina one falls so short is because we're talking about trillions of dollars that were made on the backs of Black people that they never saw a dime of it. So you just to be like, oh yeah, you can have this shop over here to participate in capitalism, or like, I guess here's a home. Like, it's like, okay, that's a cute start, but we need to like still be creative as a society. And then the one that was false was like the Senate hasn't done jack shit. There has been a bill that has been on the House of Representatives every year for decades to just look into exploring reparations, and it has never passed. So this is what we're voting for. We're voting. This is why you're going to the polls and you're voting, so we can get people in the House and in the Senate. All we're saying is like, can we get a committee to explore this? Like, let's get creative. We're human beings. We're creative. Like when we talk about defund the police, it's like, let's reimagine what society would look like. Let's reimagine what kind of forms reparations would take place, so we can finally put this atrocity to rest.
Jewish people got reparations.
See, they get it. Why can't?
Well, I don't think I got them from the government, but like I got them from Germany.
There you go. See, don't make me go all the way to Portugal to go like be like, hey
girl, don't make me go to Cabo Verde. All right, try to bag a
few. All right, you both,
and we got the
you
money.
You both got 10 points. So ding ding ding.
Yes.
So now we're going to the love next that. Round. It's pop culture, and this one is worth 100 points. It's the last round. So you could have not. This one's worth all the bacon. One of these things did not happen. We're looking for one of these things that did not happen. Happened in pop culture. Tyra Banks, the new host of Dancing with the Stars, smashed it out of the park, leaving all the haters speechless with her new hosting job. Could be true. Could not be true.
I don't know.
Our BAP, Meghan Markle. BAP stands for Black African American Princess. Continues to live her best life untouched by the crown, but one degree of separation from the crown, returns home doing the work with a deal with Netflix.
Doing the work.
Could be true. Could not be true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers is adapting a comic book superhero called Black, where all the superheroes in the world are black. Could be true.
Wait, black what?
They're
just black.
Black.
Oh!
It's called Black, and there's no, like, there's no, like, Black Panther. There's no Black Lightning. There's no Black Sharita. There's no, it's just they, it's just black. We we'll always get something
black
else.
Sharita.
Black Limbo. Black Magic. Black Speaker.
Black magic. Boot. Ooh.
We're always something. Anyways, Blackfish. Like, there is. Black Manta is an actual character in a DC comic book. And guess what?
He's black. Yeah. Hello.
Anyways.
Hello. Surprise.
Warner Brothers is adapting it. Oh, it could be true. Could not be true. And Disneyland is not open for business. Could be true. Could not be true. One of these is not true. One of these is not true.
I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars, so I don't know.
Okay. I'm putting my vote in last because I know the answer.
Oh, you go. Oh.
See what I'm saying? I'm trying to get them points.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, it's game one. It's like, oh, is this a competition? No, we don't want to. I'm going last because I want to win.
I mean, here's the game. Are we in an alliance?
We're not. There's no alliances.
Oh, are we in alliance?
Oh, we can't do alliance?
Oh, we can't be in alliance? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars, so I don't know. I wish they would. Disneyland, I think, is open. Because Disneyland made that creepy commercial with the creepy shit.
Are you going to Disneyland?
I think Disneyland. Oh, Disney World is open, but Disneyland in California isn't open. And then I don't know about the other ones. I know what I want to be true.
What?
I want Mar.
Well, only
I want,
one of them is false. Right?
One of them is false. One of them is false.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's the Disneyland one. It's not open.
Okay. And Sam, what do you say?
Tyra Banks with a mask. It's all over the news.
Oh, really? Was
I'm
it bad?
Sorry,
it was a mask.
Sarah, Sam
was
takes
it bad?
The, yep, it's 100 points.
It was bad, girl.
I'm so mad I missed that.
I didn't actually
bad.
Watch it. I just saw it on a headline. It like popped up on my news feed, and I was like, ooh.
Wait, was she was like America Next Top Model?
Okay.
Like no, I guess she just like gave somebody the wrong,
it's,
like she told the wrong person that they won
it's
or something.
Hard.
She Bernie Mac'd
it. Or just like
she Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey did
it.
My bad.
There's a lot. And I think she's used to like when you're hosting America's Next Top Model, like it's not live. Like doing live television is a beast. And she's stepping mm-hmm. in for Tom Bergeron, who's had the job for like 10 years. He's done like 20 seasons of it, you know? And
did he die?
I don't think so. Fact check.
Oh, I
think he just retired. I don't think.
Oh, I thought he died.
Sarah, sometimes people just leave jobs. They don't have to, like, die. yes. So all these other ones are true. Just to highlight, I want to circle back to Tyra. But yes, Meghan Markle, what I love is, like, she's like, fuck you, the crown. I'm going to go snatch a crown over here on Netflix. And her and
Hello.
Prince Harry have signed a deal with Netflix. They're going to be producing content that is going to be educational and like meeting the moment. Like Meghan Markle, her roots are dope. She was on Nick News when she was like a kid talking about like equality. Like she at 13 years old was like a reporter on Nick News and was like giving you the info. Like she just has always been dope. Warner Brothers is, in fact, adapting a comic book superhero called Black, where in this world, the only superheroes are black. Like, and they get to save the day. It's
we just have, like, the mother gene. And because we have the mother gene, it's like, hello, superpowers, ho, goodbye.
And I think it's that's going to be so interesting because of what fear that's going to get drive to white people because we're going to be so powerful and they're going to be like, we have to, you know, it's going to put a lot of fear and insecurity. So I think it's going to be this great metaphor of just like fearing the other. And we as black people get to see black people being so many times we're left out of the superhero narrative. So I think this is going to be like just dope. I'm here for this.
Is this Disney?
Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers. Oh. Yeah. So Warner Brothers, it's not necessarily Warner Brothers owns DC, but this isn't necessarily like a DC project. But and Disneyland, I'm sorry, Sarah. Disneyland is open and ready for business. What did I say? Disneyland is closed. Which one did I say?
I thought you said it was open.
Well, you get 100 points. Wait, no.
You said it was closed. Wait,
I
what
said
did
it was
I
closed.
Say?
I said it was closed.
I said it was closed.
And you said that you thought that one was the one that was the lie, right?
No, wait. It is. Disney World is
Disney
open.
World is open,
Disneyland
but Disneyland had to lay off 28,000 employees due to the COVID-19 impact because they still can't open. And they're all upset. They're like, you know, California has made it impossible for us to be able to open because California has very strict restrictions because we're in a pandemic.
I don't know if you guys knew, but
the
president of the United States.
Has the Donna
got the Rona.
Donna got the Rona. Who's trying to go on the teacups? Who trying to sit on the teacups right
now? I need that in one Splash Mountain. Okay.
I don't need that. I don't need especially not no Splash Mountain. None of that song of the racist ass south
okay.
in my face.
I don't need
Nan
one small world. I recognize how small it is, honey. Rona been all over it. Okay.
I get it.
Also,
I get it.
If Disney would treat their park employees better.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, I know we all artists, and we all know at least one person who has worked at the park,
100%.
And they body shame, they don't pay them very well.
I can't handle that you're so right, that you're like, we're all artists, and we all know at least one person who's a Disneyland performer, and it's true!
It is. How many of y'all know someone who was Snow White?
Oh, I knew Peter Pan.
Tinkerbell.
I knew the
Genie.
I, I had a friend who, she was like the first, it was a big deal because she was the first black, like Snow White. And she, mm-hmm. and then when they were introducing Tiana into the park, it was a big deal because they tapped her to do it. And she was a huge, like Disneyland, like, you know, she loved working at Disney, but would have to navigate the politics of it as a black woman. And this is like in the 2000s when we didn't have the dialogue, people weren't caught up to like the conversations that we're having now, right? It was like, black people were like saying like, okay, we're navigating through a racist society. And everyone's like, no, yeah. we're not doing that anymore. Like racism's like, we're post-racial. But yeah, so.
Damn.
You're right. Disneyland should. And like Disney World's open, of course, because that's in Florida.
Well.
So, I mean.
Trash.
Disney World, Florida has different rules. They have different rules. And last thing I do want to highlight is just, yes, Sam, you are so right. Tyra Banks was a mess. But here's what I wanted to point out. Tyra had this quote and she said, yeah, I had a lot of fun, but I messed up. I said the wrong words. She said, the thing is, I kept going. Forgive yourself when you mess up. Stand the heck up and keep going and tell the haters what? I don't know your name. What? I don't see you. What? Because I'm getting up and I'm keeping going. And
and I got $1 million in the bank.
Okay, thank you.
But
I'm getting paper.
I'm here for Tyra all day, every day. Because, like, for one, she taught me to smize. And two, like, she's very, like, she's so, I think she's very, tries to.
I live for Sam's
She
face
tries right. to be inspirational, even though, like, she steps in it when she's like, I'm going to be a fat person for the day and wears a fat costume. And she's like, it was so hard.
Oh, no.
Like,
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and just like, I'm not trying to knock a Tyra.
Right.
I'm just not going to forget the ANTM moments in which she just like would cut off like years of a black woman's hair.
Yeah.
Where she put everybody in blackface, where she would tell people that they're not allowed to cry because it's weakness, where she told somebody that they needed to fix their gap or they couldn't be a CoverGirl model. Like there were a lot of things that she did that were incorrect.
She
hasn't fully come out and been like, you know what? I'm sorry for all these things. She needs a little work.
And
you know,
you're right. I didn't think about it. Because again, I have just blindly watched decades of American Next Top Model with my other mind, right? Like with my like mm-hmm. younger mind. So not like seeing everything that's happening. And instead of challenging the industry, she kind of just perpetuated things of the industry and was
yes.
But in a way, she was trying to be like, girls, this is what the industry is. But she could have been more of a change maker and said, this is what I think the industry needs to be.
Well, it like for a lot of ANTM, she was trying to be both.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
You
yes.
know,
because she'd bring like a plus size model or she had it was
or
a
she would talk to the women about like, you know, eating habits or this and that. Or she'd like do interviews about like her struggles as a model,
yeah.
but then go into the show and shit on the girls who were doing it, you know. So it's just like, I'm sorry,
yeah.
boo-boo. You can't, you know.
Well, shout out to Winnie Harlow, who is the only famous person to come out of America's Next Top Model. And she is like, she's got vitiligo.
Yeah.
First
yeah.
of all.
Mm-hmm.
And she's rocking like worldwide campaigns. And she's the only one who I really know of. Who's, like,
Yaya has been in a few movies. And there was that one Adrian.
Oh, and Eva.
And Adrian married the guy from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry. I love
the...
you. That has nothing to do with her talent as a model. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Honestly.
So this person
was...
has been in movies,
she...
and this person married some rich boy. Get that
she had
get
a skincare.
Out.
She did like an infomercial. She had an infomercial line about acne.
Eva was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, not Beverly Hills.
One of them.
Potomac.
But I guess
Potomac?
I just like I think I res a Potomac. The Potomac. Oh,
Potomac.
Right. The Potomac is one, isn't it? That's sad.
Yeah, they just made it.
That's sad.
We'll talk about Real Housewives later. They're mad probably.
Who wants to be on the Potomac?
God.
I think I just like you're right, Sam. I co-sign on what you're saying. You're so right. Tyra hasn't quite fully owned up to it. I just appreciated like as like someone who looked like owning up to like I think in this moment the quote rang to me of like you're gonna mess. I like it when people own up like you're gonna mess up, although she hasn't owned up to her other mess ups, but she did own up to this mess up. And I think she laughed about it and was like, I'm gonna get better, and was trying to use that as a teachable moment for like, hey everybody, keep going. And people like to like I think people like to hate on Tyra for the wrong reasons, because they're like, oh, she's pretty and I'm just gonna, you know, and they're just trying to dig at her. But the reasons you stated were right reasons to call her into question.
I'm just saying, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm also pretty, so I'm not mad at Tyra for being pretty.
Pretty privilege.
I'm also really good looking, so.
So actually, like, I'm not mad at her.
That's one of the reasons I'm so not mad at her about. Anyways, listen, there it is. Our Quizlet Corner. Sam, you will take home the prize. Sarah, you were here, and we love you.
I'm here.
Sarah, I'm sharing my winnings with you.
You both win.
Just so you know.
Some high fives. I don't know. Yeah. You both win Micah Penis's debut album.
None of it. Don't want it.
All right. Well, there is the episode, folks. Hope you enjoyed. Let us know. How are you responding to, how do you like to identify? Is it BIPOC? Are we feeling this term? Let us know on the Twitterverse or at Minority Corner, or find us on Instagram at Minority Corner as well. Remember, you can always ask us anything at minoritycorner@gmail.com. Email it in. We will find out some answers for you to all of your burning questions. Vote, 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 vote. Vote, vote, vote. Voting is also not enough, so make sure that you're also doing something else. If you have the money, donate. If you have the time, donate your time. I know a lot of folks have been signing up for the Biden and Harris campaign, but they have a lot of volunteers, and they are actually burning through their texts for text banking. So be sure to reach out to other Senate races that are needing help. Jamie Harrison is looking really good, tied against Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. So definitely adopt a state, get on their text banking as well. We will put a link in the show notes. Vote Save America is a great resource, but there's so many different resources as well. We will link. And there it is. That's the show. We'll do a fact check for you next week, which I'm sure there are probably there's a lot of facts flying here. A lot of flat facts flying, just as and you might be entitled to your opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Thank you, Mika Penance, for that. And there we go. That's the show. Thank you so much to our editor, Sarah. You were here on the show. And thank you to Sam. You were here on the show. And you do amazing work outside of the show helping it run. And thank you to all of our wonderful listeners, our Maximum Fun supporters. And thank you all for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Love y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.